Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Celestion and their incredible new Neo 250 copperback speakers. Sacrificing none of the delicious musicality of your favourite Celestions, the Neo 250 copperback is a neodymium speaker that supplies tons of tone without the signature cone breakup immediately associated with the classic Celestion growl. Rated at a monstrous 250 watts, the Neo 250 works together with your amp to provide fantastic dynamics, delivering all the headroom and touch sensitivity you could possibly need. All that at a modest £5, which is, that's like 2.2 kilograms. Check them out at Lean Business in the UK, Tube Amp Doctor in Germany, Algam in France, Eco Music in Italy, Eberloud in Spain, plus gear for Music Toman and Backstrop. And if you're in the US, then you've got retailers like Sweetwater, Musician's Friend AMS, Parts Express, Loudspeakers Plus, and of course Amazon. For more details, check them out, Celestion.com. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham.
Hello there.
And Jay Cross.
Hello, Joe and Mark.
Yes, wonderful.
You're right today,
news.
Joe. You're sounding a little lackluster.
Was that lackluster?
It wasn't the full of the usual pizzazz.
Ah, hello. I tell you what it is.
Go back.
I tell you what it is. I've got my headphone volume up quite high. And so talking loudly was moderately painful.
Yeah. If only there was a way to remedy that.
Yeah, yes, I'm using the volume control now.
Okay,
that's much better.
Anyway,
we got Mark Packham back, which is lovely.
I had a whole week off. I went in a wood-fired hot tub, just for if people want to know what I've been up to.
That sounds nice.
Spent quite a large percentage of the week that I've been off in a wood-fired hot tub.
Ooh.
Think about buying one. How much do you reckon?
Really?
How much do you reckon a wood-fired hot tub is?
I don't know, $5,000.
Joe Branton, how much do you reckon?
Oh, I couldn't. I don't know. I'd get $6,000.
So this one.
Six grand on £1.
So ceramic tub.
Yep.
Wood surround.
Yep.
With a lid.
That you can
wooden lid.
Okay.
Take
not,
on and off.
Okay.
Yeah. So the way it works is connected to like a wood burner.
Yeah.
And then the wood burner where you put the logs in and burn it pulls in the cold water.
Right.
And then
wouldn't that put the fire out?
No, it doesn't go into the fire.
Right.
And then it obviously like shoots out the hot water.
Yeah.
So then you get like...
A spray? Like a super soaker?
No. Just it like, sort of filters through like a tap or whatever.
Oh.
So you get like an oar to stir it.
Okay.
To make it... How much do you reckon for the garden?
Wait,
£5,000? £6,000?
£6,000.
£1,500.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Does the oar get thrown in?
I win. Joe can't go in it.
Yeah, you're not.
Oh, really?
In
was
it.
That the?
That was the prize. Yeah. You can't go in it.
I wish that
you just
had
have
been
to stand and fill it up whenever we want to go in there.
Oh my goodness!
Literally the pool boy.
I can use the oar.
Yes, you get to use the oar.
You're the oar boy.
The famous Fender six string.
The
Alien Amphon signature bass.
Can you get in it with the lid on, like a sensory deprivation tank?
I mean, you could. It'd be a bit weird, though.
I think you should do that. Get some.
That's a great
get
idea.
Some wireless headphones.
Yeah.
Put on a bit of music for airports.
Go under.
Music for submarines.
And then we put some heavy
some
bricks
LSD.
On top.
Yeah,
wonderful.
It's really good. Wood-fired hot tub, £1,500.
Yeah,
I'm very tempted to get one for the garden.
Where are you going to put it?
Just like
you don't have a huge garden
at the end.
Just at the end of the garden.
I could knock down a flower bed or something.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah,
but it's worth it.
Or dig.
Only takes
dig it in.
Make it in the ground. Oh
yeah, level with the ground, so you can just walk in.
The wood burner needs to go. That would have to be under the ground.
That's fine. Make it really
make a tunnel.
Really,
we'll come and help. You could use the ore to dig.
You could use the ore to dig.
There you go.
3 hours to warm up, so you've got plenty of time.
Oh dear, that sounds like a long old time. I mean,
so I think
the kettle
about
boils in less than
Saturday
time
morning.
Than that.
Get up, you think. Oh,
you could
fancy
probably
a hot tub at lunchtime.
No, I bet you could fill it up with water from a kettle quicker than it would take to heat up. I reckon just boiling a kettle and pouring
you
it in.
Definitely couldn't.
Yeah,
it was
for
massive.
Sure. Yeah,
it was like a 4-person hot tub.
Ooh, I mean, that does sound big. How many liters do you get in a bath? 42.
10.
42. So, and how many do you get in an average kettle? 2 liters? Something
you don't like get that. 10 liters so. In a... Wait, you said 40. I said
42 10. Liters.
You just said the word 10 for no reason. You don't get 10 in there. So, no, you literally
sorry,
just said
no,
that.
Sorry, that was me laughing at a joke that I made to make you look stupid, but it made me look stupid. Sorry.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It would take a while to fill up with a kettle, that's what I'm saying. And you'd be more efficient to pop some logs in there and heat it up that way.
Pop the logs.
So I've been doing that, and I stayed in a shepherd's hut.
Oh, lovely.
Lovely. And then wedding at the weekend.
Oh, congratulations.
Yep.
Who was there?
Oh,
it
wonderful.
Was good.
Was it your wedding?
It wasn't my wedding, no. Chaz and Dave played. Well, they didn't. There was a Chaz and Dave song that played, and Mark and I got really excited, and our girlfriends left to go and do shots.
Just walked out at that point.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
But no, it was very nice. It's very nice. I've got some news for you.
Go on.
I know we're not in the news section yet, but no. I this week I listened to Kill 'Em All for the first time by Metallica.
Right. Yeah.
Let me tell you, great record. They're onto something, I reckon.
Those boys will go far.
Here's a tip: watch out for Metallica. Good sounding band.
Yeah, you think they've?
Have you ever listened to Kill 'Em All?
No.
I'd never listened to it before. It's great.
I think the only Metallica record I've listened to is what's the one where it is distorted because it's badly recorded.
St. Anger.
No, it's Load? The one after that.
Reload.
No, it's those are the covers albums, aren't they?
I don't know. Are they covers?
I guess so.
I don't know.
I actually have listened to
one
St. Anger.
After
one
St.
Of
Anger?
One of them's got the Deaf Magnetic.
Mm. Oh, I've never listened to that.
Really bad.
Really,
it sounds like
really
a Tarantino
bad
movie.
Really bad.
That's the one that's distorted all the way through because the compression's so weird. Right. And I've listened to a bit of St. Anger, which is the one where the snare goes
clang, 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 clang. Yeah, Kill 'Em All is great. Although there was I had a moment of realization. I can't remember what song it is now because I was listening in the car. And of course, I wasn't looking at my phone because you don't do that when you're driving.
Sure, of course.
But one of the songs came on and it gave me complete flashbacks to Gack because it's a classic Guitar Shop riff.
Oh, Don't Stop Believing.
By Journey.
Yes.
Yes, the classic Metallica song.
Oh, we're talking specifically about...
Yeah, that one.
Was it that one? Okay. Yeah.
Really? No, I didn't know that was a Metallica song.
That's Slayer song.
Oh, okay. It's all the same to me.
Yeah, I agree. So what? Which one was it?
I can't remember.
Oh, you just know that you'd heard it from the shop.
Yeah, I heard it loads.
There's been a number of
occasions. They wrote a song about a holiday, didn't they? Or sand or something?
Yeah, holiday.
Something about a
it
sandy
would
beach.
Be so nice.
No, you're thinking of Green Day.
I no, live there's in definitely, my there was a man on the sand in one of their songs. They talk about a man on the sand. Enter the Sandman.
Enter the Sandman.
That was it.
Gag that he was trying to do
for about five minutes. Good. Anyway, so whilst you guys were at a wedding in a hot tub, I went and played a couple of shows in Bristol and Torquay. I also went to see a show. I went to see Interpol. And you know what? The fantastic band Interpol. Terrible drummer, but fantastic band. Princeton's.
I can tell you a single
Princeton's.
Interpol song.
I don't think they're really for you. But
they do. It was our yellow. That one. Is that one of them?
No, okay. It's not. No. But two deluxes for the guitarist and singer.
Who was playing? I watched a bit of their Glastonbury set.
Oh, did you? Oh, they played Glastonbury.
They
as
did.
Well.
Yeah,
oh,
I watched a bit of their Glastonbury set. Not at all. I've never listened to them before.
Right.
Not at all what I was expecting. Wasn't really into it, but that's fine.
Fair enough.
Isn't it just like boring dad rock?
No, they're one of my favourite bands, man. They're like a really cool, sort of weird, off-kiltery, you know. So they're part of this progression of like Joy Division, You know, that they're from that line of music. So there have been. So I think there was like Joy Division and then Interpol and then Editors and then White Lies. That sort of takes you down like the route of bands that sound like that. Interpol were, you know, were fantastic. But anyway, yes, he plays a Les Paul custom. He always plays just one guitar for their entire set and he never tunes, never tunes. We certainly didn't in the hour and a half that I saw him at the, at the Brighton Dome.
So was he playing his Les Paul custom?
Yeah, lovely.
Which it looked old.
Yes.
I couldn't work out what it was, but it looked nice.
He's changed
really
the pickups in it. So it's got a pair. It's got like, you know, the
EMG A185s.
Definitely not. But he always just plays that one guitar, never changes. The other guitarist, the lead guitarist, plays an Epiphone Casino.
Yeah, that's what I saw him play, which also looked old.
Yeah.
It looked really cool.
But it's the second time I've seen them, the first time I've seen them sober, and the first time I've sort of noticed their gear. But I was like, man, that red Epiphone Casino, that's what he was playing in the videos from their first album, which were... I don't know, you know, 16, 18 years ago.
So I looked it up because, funnily enough, I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know anything about them, but I was trying to work out, you know, what was going on, who they were and whether they'd been in any other bands or whatever. And I hadn't realised they'd been a band since 1997.
Yeah, that's right.
97.
Yeah,
both the guitar players were born in the UK but grew up in America.
Right, yeah.
And the original drummer, who was in the band in 1997, was right up until, I think he was the first 3 years or so. Anyway, he left to be in this band, Satia, who are this one of my favourite, like, late 90s screamo bands. They're so good. And then he left that band, and he also was in Hot Cross, who are a band who you'd really like.
Right.
They kind of came out of that similar sort of Refused type thing, but were a bit more aggro and a bit less let's be in a popular rock band.
Right.
It's a 70s Les Paul custom and a 1967 Epiphone Casino.
Unbelievable.
There we go.
Unbelievable that he still plays that one guitar. Now, the other guitarist did change to a...
And he runs level plane. The geezer from Interpol runs, like, the best, like, kind of 90s screamo record label.
Right.
You're going to start listening to Interpol, aren't you?
I'm not. No, not at all. But, it was just... I hadn't realised how kind of... legit they were.
Yeah, they're a fantastic band. Been around years. Very responsible for sort of weird chords.
I tell you the other thing. Youth.
Responsible for weird chords.
Like the movement of weird music. People who listened to the Mars Volta listened to Interpol before. It was like, and listened to Radiohead. Like they're part of that, like, if you like weird minory stuff, then Interpol are part of that. And they were one of the, you know, first bands, I guess, for our generation that were doing that sort of thing.
One thing that I noticed while I was watching them was the bass player was very good and wasn't doing very much.
He's not in the band, but yes.
Oh, okay.
The bass player actually left. So it depends what song you're listening to, because the...
Do they change?
No, it's just a live bass player now, but... the front guy writes everything. So
I was just watching
the bass lines are less good on new stuff. Great on old stuff.
Oh, okay. So it was, I don't know what it was, but the bass sounded great and he wasn't doing very much. And it was like exactly what I want.
Ampeg SVT, 810 and a black P bass with
it's not
maple
hard, is it?
Neck.
Yeah. It's not hard.
Really, really, really good set. I was watching them and I was like, damn, it's a really ultimate set. But I was really surprised to see two Princetons was all the lead guitarist was running through.
What else do you need?
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, when you've got your bass players running through a sort of 300-watt stack and you're using two 14-watt combos,
yeah.
I just thought, oh, wow, that's not a lot. But it sounded fantastic. His tone was absolutely off the scale. Very.
I think they're 12-watt, but...
Are they 12?
I think.
Hmm, okay, interesting. Do you know what else is super cool?
Not your shirt.
What? My shirt is fantastic. This is my light linen summer wear.
Good to know.
I tell you the bad thing about going and doing shows during a heat wave.
15 watt.
The fact that
sweaty.
The fact that I've started wearing only black roll necks.
Yeah, that's probably
very hot.
Yeah,
very
so I
hot.
It would be.
Nearly passed out at times.
Is that part of your new? Is that the new phase of polymath?
Mm. Well, yes. The others are still in their suits. I've just changed out of my suit into I've been wearing suits for about a year. Yeah, black suits. But you know, I wear.
All right,
I was. I was. I've sort of. I got too fat. I got too fat for my. Oh, we're getting a sax.
Yeah, I know. Is he going to be attached to the ceiling so that he can fly out in front of the crowd whilst playing One Step Beyond?
No. Anyway, the other thing that I saw over on 60 Cycle Chumps Facebook page, 60 Cycle Hum.
Low blow.
They're a wonderful podcast. I love them a lot. I saw a post on there from a guitar company that I hadn't come across before, and it was very, very awesome. Tunatone guitars. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. So, I've been getting into this.
So, yeah, so I thought, I'm not surprised you've got into them, J Cross. And listener, you absolutely must check them out. Tuna as in the fish, and then tone.
As in.
And then instruments.
That thing that we're all searching for.
Yeah, tunatoneinstruments.com. Go and check it out. They're absolutely fantastic.
As far as I can tell, it's just the. Is it just the one guitar or two guitars?
So, I think it's just the. I think there are three different.
This is really good.
No,
you'd think if he was going to bring this up in the podcast, he would have actually done the research first.
I was going to talk about
there's
the
two
guitar.
Models they make.
I was going to talk about the guitar that I saw, so yeah. I hadn't checked out the entire range.
Which
but
is
yes,
the pink one.
There
with
are two
the
models:
humbucker in the
teeny
neck.
Tuner and the Barra Tuner.
Yeah.
Which both look absolutely fantastic.
So the teeny tuner's small and the baritone, what's that then?
but they're inspired by the vintage futurism of mid-century electric guitars, all designed by Layla Siddy, Canadian luthier. I think they look absolutely fantastic. What a wonderfully sort of understated, interesting range of instruments. Of course, we were...
did you see this on 60 Cycle Hum or did I post it in the group? I'm pretty sure
I saw it in 60 Cycle Hum, 100%. Yeah.
Well, maybe you've got me blocked because I'm pretty sure that I posted it actually.
Okay.
Blocked in your own group.
Yeah.
The only thing that would concern me, and it'd be interesting to speak to someone who has played one, is intonation because they've got like an acoustic style bridge.
It's a non-adjusting bridge,
yeah.
as it were. But who needs intonation?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, you're speaking to the king of only playing on the first five frets, well, so...
Seven. You've got to get to that
the first seven, fine. But that would be my only concern, is that, yes, I love the styling and stuff, and I love the kind of retro thing, but, you know, there's a reason that things like the Tunematic were invented and adjustable saddles. Really interesting to actually play one and see how practical it is.
Yeah,
it was great though. Absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. In both cases, single pickup guitars, the Baratuna featuring a more Music Master-esque single coil in the neck position, and the Teeny Tuner featuring one of those bladed P90s that you get in the Stella Rosa.
Okay.
Stop talking
for a minute. 12th of June, 23:22, that's right. 11:22 in the evening,
yeah.
For people who don't understand military time, of which I understand.
Uh-huh.
Here's a screenshot from that says, Extremely Guitar Nerds Material. It's a picture of the Teeny Tuner, and oh look, 11 likes, one of whom, Joe Branton.
Oh, well,
thanks very much, Joe.
I'm sorry, I immediately forgot, but I saw it today on 60
Circle Hum. Which one of Ryan or Steve did you get me mixed up with?
This is not, it wasn't even by them. It was by someone who had
bought the guitar, I think.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Because they were at a guitar show somewhere in America. One of those parts that I don't know where it is. But yeah, what an absolutely cool.
It looks great. It looks really great, the guitar. And I don't know how much they are. I don't know if they've got a reverb shop or anything.
I don't think so. As far as I know.
There's nothing about buying one on the website, so I don't know anything about it, but they look great. I think that Layla, the luthier, is in the group, actually. So.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an article about her and her guitars in She Shreds magazine as well.
Oh, okay.
A couple of months ago, which I found when having a look. Anyway.
Speaking of She Shreds,
yes.
Actually, this is something that I meant to say last week. I know that it's really difficult to get any She Shreds stuff in the UK, but my friends in Bristol, actually, Joe, where you've just been,
yes.
So who run Specialist Subject Records, the record shop above the Exchange, they just got in a bunch of back issues of She Shreds.
Oh, cool.
And like socks and hats, stuff like that.
She Shreds socks, I'd love a pair.
They don't come in a boat.
Yeah, I do have
size,
boat feet
size.
Yeah. Or in some sort of Hawaiian shirt variety.
But yes, if you are trying to get any copies of She Shreds and don't want to pay £20 for postage, you can get it from Specialist Subjects, which is very handy.
Absolutely. Anyway, we don't have any mailbag this week. We've got some pedals, lots of things on their way. We're going to have a whole bunch of stuff from Demodesh Pedals next week.
Oh, yeah, that's the company that we talked about, maybe 5 or 6 weeks
ago.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
Got some great stuff.
Yeah, and that's all coming out. Yeah, we will mention briefly that finally you guys got to try out...
I wasn't sure if we were allowed to talk about it, which is why...
No, yes, we have. Yes, we did do it previously on another one, but we should absolutely talk about it now that more of us have tried it. The Anasounds Elements Le Brute. Now, I did sound samples for this on... last week's episode of Bar Chords, and we spoke about it on the podcast episode on the week before, but you guys have both now had a chance to check out the Anasounds Elements. This is, of course, the reverb pedal that comes with a controller pedal and an actual spring that you can either rack mount or mount onto your pedal board.
I thought it sounded great. We AB'd it against the reverb that's in my Princeton.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was quite there.
It's much brighter than the Princeton.
It was
reverb.
It was very, very bright. But the what I did like about it is two things. First of all, the fact that obviously it's a real spring, so if you do kick it, it does make the noise that you get when you drop an amp down the stairs, which is great. The other thing is that saturation switch. Is that what it is?
Saturation switch.
Which sounds like what you're doing is basically running a drive through the reverb, or maybe running reverb through a drive that's in the pedal. I'm not really sure. The two sounds, the kind of the saturation and not saturated sounds, aren't very well balanced. But I mean, that's not something that you're going to switch between on the fly. So I don't think that's too much of a big deal. But I just think that having that saturation there, you can get a really, really like sort of gravelly lo-fi sound out of it, which is something that is very different. And it's not just, okay, well, here's a really authentic replication of a reverb tank. It was something that was a little bit different. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's definitely not an obvious sounding reverb.
No, not in the slightest.
Yeah, absolutely not for everyone, but a really cool, interesting soundscape tool.
I was in GAC this week and I saw they had they had all three sizes in the shop, and they do look really impressive.
Yeah, they look great. They're fantastic. I said it on Bar Chords, but it's the sort of thing that goes up there with like the Hudson Broadcast and the Game Changer Plus pedal as being like, these are extraordinarily, like, this is a high-end looking, very cool, unique type of pedal. A little mini board with those three things would be like the top of sort of weird cool pedals.
I think that's the thing, is that obviously there's so many different ways to get a reverb sound now, but if you want to do something a bit different, and it's definitely got a kind of unique sound to it, is quite aggressive sounding. Be interested to hear what the other sizes sound like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's the middle one,
the
right?
Middle one, yeah.
So the big one is like the size of a, the big one is like a reverb tank, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to hear what that can do, because this is very much like, and also I'd like to hear the smaller one as well, because it'll be probably even more aggressive.
Be
curious to hear the others.
Absolutely. Let's do some news. So first up, a very, very exciting thing, something that I haven't been as excited about in, well, as since I can remember. Harmony Guitars are back. Yes, I mean, you know, they've been back for a little while, but the official press release has finally landed, and oh my goodness, they're everything I absolutely wanted them to be. So, Harmony Guitars, of course, responsible for some of the coolest, quirky-looking retro guitars. They're kind of like a guitar brand that managed to do... to hold some integrity, you know, to their build quality, whilst being sort of a cheap, weird 60s brand. We know that Dan Electro guitars are going to be pretty ropey. You know, we know that K guitars aren't going to be amazing from that area. But there's something about Harmonies that they seem to have kept their integrity. Certainly there are examples of old Harmony guitars that are still very playable and very good. Annie Clark St. Vincent played one right up until she got her Music Man signature model. I recently went to see Ben Howard, and he switched up, you know, between his Jaguar, his Les Paul, and a Harmony, a right-handed Harmony, which he just played upside down for the whole time, which was very cool. But what an absolutely cool range of guitars. So they've released three models, the Silhouette, the Rebel, and the Jupiter guitars. So these are a an offset shape, a single cut shape, and a double cut shape as well. But they've released a little video as well, a nice little video about the company being back. All American built.
Yeah, that was the thing that surprised me, actually, is that these are not... They've not brought the name back and gone, okay, we're going to do, like, Harmony reissues.
Well, like Silvertone are doing.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Not you don't mean Silvertone.
I do mean Silvertone.
Do you?
Because Silvertone are back, but they're making...
Oh, you're right. I was thinking, like, what's the company that does all the reissues?
Oh, Eastwood.
Eastwood. Yeah, Eastwood are doing some of the shapes that Harmony used to do, basically.
Right, of course, yes, they are.
So I thought they were just going to do that and think, you know, these Eastwoods have been very popular, but surely people will want them with the name on there. But no, what they've done is three basically new shapes that obviously take inspiration from classic designs of the past, building them in the US, seemingly, you know, judging by the pictures and stuff, to quite a high standard. Be very, very interesting to try them. And yeah, I'm into it. I mean, the one for me, I think, that looks the best is the Jupiter, which I would say is the kind of Les Paul-esque single cut.
It is fantastic. So I mean, to start with the Jupiter, yes, it's a single cut. Color options, lovely color options. Champagne,
nice color,
very nice color. A pearl white and a space black, which is kind of a, you know, subtly glittered black, all with gold foil humbuckers, custom made by the company, and kind of a simple C-shaped neck profile, but in a they're all bolt-ons, and with a lovely sort of dark gloss, sort of very rich coloured back of the neck, large like 60s volume and tone controls, your little pickup toggle well out the way. Bridge looks great, sort of half a Telecaster bridge.
Unusual bridge. I think, is it the same bridge that's on? I'm just looking at the silhouette. Is it the same bridge that's on that?
It's like the half telly one.
Yeah. Yes. Really interesting.
I think the silhouette one is slightly different from the other two at a quick glance, but I think, yes, nice looking, great looking bridges, retro, kind of retro come modern. I love that they're simple, clean. They've got a very specific aesthetic with these guitars. Very into them. They're about to launch amplifiers as well.
Oh, really?
Amplifiers are coming soon. They've actually... and they look fantastic, very Supro-esque.
The Jupiter, I'd say, like body shape-wise, is like halfway between a Les Paul and a Dan Electro. It's got that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm into it. Just some interesting bits on the tech spec. Ebony boards.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you mentioned.
No, I didn't.
12-inch radius. And they are, I believe, nitro.
Yeah, they are nitro.
They are nitro.
Neck finish is nitro, yeah.
And the body.
Yeah. Really nice, really nice. The silhouette is the one for me. I love those sort of weird sort of offset shapes that you get from 60s guitars where it looks like someone's trying to make an offset with a really straight jigsaw. I really like it. I think the champagne colour is fantastic. I love the Harmony headstock anyway, and they've kept the original 6-in-a-row and 3x3 Harmony headstocks from the original models, and the sort of gorgeous squiggly text of the Harmony model. They all come with mono gig bags as well. Very good.
Interesting, because they're owned by the same company, right?
Of course, yeah. Exactly. But they're actually releasing a range of accessories as well, where that comes into play again. A range of straps that very much... Now, this is all coming soon, because this is obviously very new. The straps very much look like some of the mono classic straps.
Oh, yeah.
But branded Harmony. But gorgeous, sort of like the ones that they've got a lovely light tan buckle and sort of white cloth sort of strap length with a sort of steel buckle part to it. But they look really nice. They're doing a guitar polish and fretboard cleaner. It looks like a little towel, and then plectrums and even Harmony strings in the little bundle picture that they've supplied there. But I love the aesthetic. It looks very finished. It doesn't look like they're cheaping out on anything. It looks like they've gone, this is what we're going to make. We're going to make these guitars in a select few finishes and do some accessories that fit, and, you know, some amplifiers that fit with that. It's very much a specific market, but I welcome this brand.
It's very much different to what I was expecting, like I say, from a relaunched Harmony. I was expecting some, you know, probably Chinese-made reissues of their
old
stuff. This is not that at all. It's really interesting. super interesting, and that amp looks incredible as well.
Yes, the I'm very excited about this. I would be very excited to see if they start releasing acoustics as well, because certainly in their promo video for this, they show a range of people playing old harmonies.
Yeah.
And that's very much the vibe of it. Some of the new guitars thrown in there, but lots of clips of people playing old original harmonies, which include some shapes that they haven't launched at the moment, and include some acoustics.
So it
I'm really excited to see how much they actually put in this range. Now, price wise, of course, old harmonies, you can pick up the old, I can't remember what the actual Jupiter thing, what the Jupiter's based on is called. It might even be a Jupiter. I'm terrible with harmony names, I'm afraid. But what that single cut, the original Harmony single cut, I nearly bought one recently from Wonjo Guitars for £750, or it might have been £650.
Yep.
For an original. Now I appreciate the buildsmanship and the quality of
buildsmanship.
I'm going to run with that word.
Okay, fine.
I appreciate that that's the idea is that that's vastly improved on these new models, but nonetheless, there is certainly an amount of prestige that comes with owning an old instrument. And when you can get one for £650 in comparison to the,
it's a different thing though.
It's a different thing.
Completely different. It's, I'm just looking at some of the older harmonies now. And
I do appreciate what Joe's saying though. I assume what you were going to go on to say is they can't really go about charging $3,000 for this when you can buy an original for.
Well, they're not.
I know they're not.
Yeah, $1,300 is the price.
So they'll be probably about $1,000. Yeah. Roughly here.
Yeah. Which is a good price, a great price for an American made nitro finished instrument. I know lots of US brands that aren't managing to keep a nitro instrument down at that sort of price.
So that
is fantastic. They're definitely no frills guitars. That's certainly what they are. But I love the simplicity of them. I think very, very cool indeed.
I'm totally into it. Definitely not what I was expecting, but definitely into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome back, Harmony. Oh, I'm very excited. I can't wait to God, I might even be convinced to get one of these. I might have to get one of these.
Do it.
Maybe I should.
Add to that collection.
Yeah, why not? I tell you what, recently I was thinking maybe I need to do what you do. And actually, that's a question for you as well, listeners. Like, is it better to have a massive collection of stuff or just a few really good bits? Like, what's better? Anyone who's got rid of a collection of guitars, have you found that just owning a few really good things has sort of slaked your thirst for a massive collection, or is it necessary to own all the chintz as well as all the good stuff? Should collections be big or small?
You know my thoughts.
All the what?
All the chintz.
What's that mean?
It means like stuff.
Yeah.
Like stuff that's like not. Like you, it means like cheesy stuff,
cheap stuff.
Yeah,
all right.
Cheesy stuff.
So have you not heard the expression chintz?
No.
Ah, yeah, it's an expression.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
I will express it myself from now on.
Do you know what it actually comes from? It means printed, multicolored cotton fabric with a glazed finish, used for curtains and upholstery, much like the shirts that Joe wears every week.
Mm.
Yeah, it means that. But yeah, it's been kind of like, kind of co-opted by things that kind of, yeah, here we go. An informal speech refers to cheap, low quality or gaudy things.
Oh, well.
Like Joe Branton.
Yeah, like Joe Branton, exactly.
Oh, unbelievable.
Gaudy things.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark Packham, why don't you tell us about Joyo Audio?
Indeed. So Joyo, obviously making waves every time they release a new product. This is a new addition to their kind of Bantam line, which was their kind of small amps. This is the Bantamp Firebrand. This is like a lunchbox head, bit smaller than a Tiny Terror, I would say, like somewhere between that and what was the real small one that they did?
Micro Terror,
indeed. Probably a bit bigger than a Micro Terror, a bit smaller than a Tiny Terror. The latest addition to that range is pretty much a metal amp. So idea behind this, 12x7 in the preamp, solid state power amp. They are, let's just check, the 20 watts and two voicings, clean or overdrive. You've got gain, volume and tone on the front. But also a Bluetooth switch on the front. You can switch on Bluetooth, connect your phone to it, and play along. This doesn't sound like a huge bit of news because they've done a few other bits in this range, and you know, it's not a particular, you know, there's nothing particularly special with this one over the other ones they've done. But I wanted to bring it up because I listened to the demo video and it sounded absolutely incredible. Really good. And, you know, there's all sorts of things that can go on with processing the audio in a demo video. But I thought it sounded mega.
I actually think these amps are really, really good. I think I first saw this sort of range of Bandamp. Well, they're not... What is this range called? Bandamp's the name of this one, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think Bandamp, because like bantam, like small, is the name of the range. But let me... Yeah, so, so they do the Bandamp Atomic...
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
The Bandamp Meteor, the Bandamp Blue Jay. Yeah, so Bandamp is the range.
Yeah.
The Bandamp Jackman and the Bandamp Zombie.
Lovely. I love this range. I thought it was really, really super cool. I mean, who do you think is buying... What sort of genre of musician is buying these most? Is the metal one going to appeal to more people than, say, I assume there's like a jazz chorusy one in there, and there's a...
To be honest, I couldn't tell you.
Fendery bluesy one in there.
The people that I think are probably buying these, a lot of people I assume are buying them for backup stuff. So you take your main amp to the gig. If the main amp fails, you've got one that isn't taking up a huge amount of room and hasn't cost you a huge amount of money. Plus also probably people playing in their bedroom. So they also do a 15-watt cab that can accompany it that looks pretty cool. The Bant Cab. And yeah, I mean, I guess the idea is that you maybe buy the cab and then you maybe buy a couple of the different heads and you can switch between.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They're only like $169.
Yeah,
these
they are.
Heads.
Indeed. So I think it's that. I think it's people, bedroom players, and people who are buying them for backups. The other way that you could use it is in the studio, because I think that the Firebrand sounded amazing, and I assume what they've done there is cranked it all the way up in the stewed. And yeah, I thought it was really impressive.
Very cool. Very cool indeed. Jay Cross. Hughes and Kettner. No, not Hughes and Kettner.
I've got something that I wanted to jump back to before we jumped into not talking about Hughes and Kettner.
Right, right.
And this is about the harmony guitar. Sorry, I'm just jumping back.
Yeah, jump back.
Did you see where the press release came from?
Where did the press release come from?
The press release came from Kalamazoo.
Yeah, that's where they're being made.
Are they just being made out of the old Gibson factory?
Well, I assume so. I don't know.
Potentially.
Are they being made? Heritage still make guitars?
Well, the company's owned by Bandlab, isn't it? So I don't know who's building them, but
I wonder if they're being built by Heritage. In the old Gibson factory. I mean, it could well be that there
is another guitar factory
in Kalamazoo, but I mean, I don't know. Very interesting.
Definitely be interesting to find out.
Oh, I really want to get one. I'm going to give them a call. I'm going to give them a call now.
Drop them a line. Tell them your guitar superstar, Joe Branton, who plays bass.
They need to give me a guitar.
There's only 75,000 people live in Kalamazoo, so interesting. Be really keen to find out a little bit more about that. So anyway, sorry, I totally wasn't listening to what Mark was saying. And I'm also just going to skip over what you were saying.
Yes,
about
I'm going to tell you. You're going to tell me about something else, aren't you?
Yes, I'm going to talk about.
I'm not even going to pick what you're going to tell me anymore. I'm just going to let you float it.
Fender have. No, I'm kidding. so, Lucem guitars.
Oh, good. I was hoping you'd talk about them.
Do you know anything about Lucem guitars?
No, I'd never heard about them until I put them in this list.
So, Lucem guitars are from sunny old Blighty.
It is sunny at the moment. It, for once, it is actually
we
sunny.
We are experiencing a heat wave.
Yeah, it got up to 10 degrees Celsius today.
And horrible.
Yeah, we took all our shirts off. It was fantastic. Lucem are based in, I think it's Cumbria. Anyway, they're based out of the UK.
I don't understand how there's a boutique guitar brand that we haven't heard of in the UK.
Well, I mean, you might understand when you find out what the price is, but let's skip over that for just the moment. Very well. So their kind of flagship guitar is the Paradox, and just having a look on their website, the Paradox looks great. Imagine kind of like a Parker Fly type.
Fly meets Rickenbacker 4003.
Yeah, it looks also, like a Ricky.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it look. Yeah, Parker Fly meets Rickenbacker.
It's a Ricky style scratch plate. That's what it is.
Yes, yeah, you're right. So it's that kind of style, and that is a guitar that they've had in the line. It looks great on the website. The standard Paradox. It's got a Bigsby, but you know that's fine. Block inlays, black with a torque guard. Looks fantastic. Now they have for Summer Nam. They're releasing the deluxe Nick McCabe Paradox.
Who on earth is Nick McCabe?
Nick McCabe, Joe, funny you should ask, used to be in the band The Verve. And I just had a quick read of his Wikipedia page, and it's not particularly flattering, I've got to be honest. It calls him, I don't think he uses the word argumentative, but I think it uses the word obtuse. Apparently him and Richard Ashcroft never really saw eye to eye, and that's why The Verve stopped being a band. But anyway, he is still a guitar player, and this guitar looks fantastic. So as I say, you've got that kind of Rickenbacker offset style.
It's very modern come classic,
it does,
isn't it?
Yeah, it does, especially his one. So
his one's more modern.
His one is far more modern. So it's what was the base wood is tulip wood and then curly maple top, rosewood or ebony fretboard. I guess you can choose. This isn't actually on their website yet, so I'm just going off of the press release. But the thing that's really mad about it is there are 21 different options.
Outrageous.
Available, different pickup selection options available from just two pickups.
Oh, I thought you were going to say add 21 pickups.
No, yeah. They all just go straight Incredible. To the output jack. No, so just two pickups, and through a mixture of splitting and tapping and phasing and all sorts of other stuff, series, parallel, etc. You can get loads and loads of different sounds out of it. And it makes a particular point of mentioning the fact that the volume control, the master volume, is very close to the bridge so that you can do lots of pinky rolls, which apparently is Nick McCabe's signature thing. The pickups are Creamery, so UK built, which is really nice. All in all, it looks fantastic. It really is quite a, like you say, a mixture of that kind of modern style with a classic kind of future retro body style. The only issue is the price.
Right.
They are quite pricey. So USD, they've got them listed as $4,760. What's particularly interesting is on the press release, they also have the dealer price, which I will not read out loud. I'm sure that was meant to come off of the press release. So that's quite funny. Gloss, high gloss nitro, $4,760. Oil and wax, $4,560.
Just a note on the price, just done a bit of digging on their website. They're actually, there's a page on the site dedicated to the Silver Series, which is basically going to be their first factory-made guitars, so not custom-built guitars. So it's just designed, assembled, and set up in the UK. So I imagine that they're getting like bodies and necks made elsewhere and then they put them together. Price-wise, obviously that brings it down. The estimated RRP, £999.
Very good.
Okay.
The example they've got on the site looks amazing. It's kind of that paradox shape, but it's single coil strap pickup in the neck and a humbucker in the bridge.
Much less frills on that one, the Silver Series. Certainly a more basic build, but lovely to have that body shape available at that sort of price point.
One interesting thing to note, there's no picture of it, but the headstock... like the artwork and the logo that's going to be on the headstock, designed by Brian Cannon from Microdot, who did album covers for Oasis and The Verve.
Oh well, there you go then.
That's pretty interesting. I actually really like some of their other models. They do one called the Unorthodox, which is very much similar to the Harmony, whichever Harmony I liked, the Silhouette.
Yeah. Silhouette. Yeah.
Like an offset one.
Yeah, so they do a similar sort of offset with the same scratch plate, same pickup configurations, and so I assume the same 21 options. And this one actually happens to be an instrument played by Neil Halstead from Slowdive as well. So
I don't know who that is.
They're a band.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, it's fine. But very cool. Very, very cool guitars. I'm really into them. I'm really surprised that they have so many instruments in the range and certainly are moving towards making a standard issue model, and they're not something we've ever heard of or come across.
But some of their designs are really cool. I'm just having a look at the site now. They also do one that looks like a bit like a Ricky.
A bit more like a Ricky.
They've also done one. Hang on, I just need to read this because this has literally just popped up. Some sort of guitar synth built into the Ricky style one with a touch screen.
Okay, not that.
So just jumping back to Nick McCabe for a minute, I've just been doing a little bit of reading on here. Don't think this is a signature model, but he has got a little profile on the Eastwood website, just jumping back to Eastwood after talking about him in relation to Harmony. He was previously playing the Eastwood Ichiban, which is actually quite a similar looking body shape to the whatever this one is called, Paradox, which I forgot the name of momentarily. And also, if you just do a Google image search for him, he's played loads of weird stuff. So there's a picture of him playing a Fender 12 with the two Mustang style pickups. And all sorts of weird stuff. So really, really cool. Seems like a really cool guitarist. To be honest with you, other than the two big songs, I don't really know anything about the Verve.
No, me neither.
But maybe I will listen to this because he looks like he is quite a guitar geezer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Mark Packham ruined the back end of this podcast by floating to the Facebook audience, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, asking people for questions. For the podcast,
have we got a jingle for questions?
Well, we do, but I've got it's somewhere on my computer.
It's been such a long time.
Yeah, here it is.
Should we do another one? Oh, sorry, I interrupted.
That's fine.
Play the jingle.
Here's the jingle.
Questions.
There you go. Happy?
Yeah.
Wonderful. I found the jingle. That cost me some time.
Okay.
Searching.
What if you don't find it?
I have to make another one, but I'm sure I did find it.
Oh, this is very weird. Okay, cool.
Anyway, so...
I've been just scouring them very briefly to pick some out.
If you refer to the document that literally we're all sent to sort of read through as we podcast, I have done the same and I have moved over appropriate questions into a big list. But if you want to ruin that and do it your own way, why not?
Ones are boring. I'm going to pick another one. This one comes from Yogi, who says, seeing as Fender own both themselves and Charvel, a DK24 neck with an American Fender Elite body, or the other way round, any config of Charvel body counts. Jay Cross, what would you go for? Fender neck on a Charvel body, or Charvel body on a Fender neck?
I am an enormous, enormous fan of that neck.
Charvel?
The Charvel neck on the DK24. I love that neck, so I would probably go... I'd probably go get that roasted neck. Get that on a strap body or telly body or whatever. I think that for me is the big selling point of that guitar. Obviously, the fact that it's in pink, is a big selling point, of course. But that's probably the way I'll go. Get the Charvel neck.
Joe Branton, what are you saying?
What is what's very cool about that Charvel neck, I guess, is that especially when they are kind of a really, really similar company, in that they're owned by the same people and it's the same headstock and everything. It's funny that Fender haven't tried to do a neck like that, because that DK24 has come back with absolutely nothing but positive praise from people.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised there hasn't been any sort of roasted necks on the Fender stuff as yet, because, you know, everyone's doing it. Music Man are doing it. Yeah. Even their own brands are doing it.
There have been a few FSRs here and there, I think. I don't think there's been anything kind of production line. I can't tell you. I can't remember.
It's kind of a silly question, because Chanvel only make one body shape.
Yeah, but I mean, you could go back into history. You could go Surfcaster, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, a strat neck on that would be weird.
Do you remember those? Do you remember when they turned the Surfcasters turned up? They did Chanvel did like a run of really affordable guitars. There were like three or four body shapes that turned up. You might have left by then.
That was the Black Friday madness at GAC. We crashed the website.
Yeah, we got a load of Chanvels came in. They were like £300.
They weren't the Surfcaster, they were the Skatecaster.
What was the Skatecaster body shape?
Skatecaster is, well, both the Surfcaster and Skatecaster are offset guitars. Difference being the Skatecaster is a much more kind of metal guitar, through neck, I believe, and had two humbuckers. And I believe they were sort of either EMGs or their own active, or maybe there was a passive version as well. But yeah, they were going for, on a Black Friday price, like £300. And
outrageous.
I think we sold like loads of them and it crashed the website. The Surfcaster, of course, is the guitar that they don't make anymore. It's an older guitar, which is, again, offset, hollow body. Depending on which one you go for, either humbucker in the bridge, lipstick pickup in the neck, two lipstick pickups, or I believe I've even seen a three lipstick pickup version. Very, very cool. In fact, there's one on Reverb right now, and I noticed it's just come down in price, £650, I believe. A cool guitar.
I tell you what, one other thing that I would do if I was getting that Chanvel neck, though, is really push, and this is something that I think is a shame that they don't do more of, is the Chanvel logo, you know, the one, it looks a bit like a guitar. It looks like the outline of a guitar. That's what's on the DK24. I've just never been a big fan of that. And I do really like what they call the toothpaste logo, which is the larger kind of, it looks almost a bit cartoony.
It's like the Jackson logo.
The toothpaste logo.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I'm just trying to find a picture of it for, you know, the listeners to look at.
It looks like the Jackson logo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Jackson logo looks like, you know, an Aquafresh logo. It's like it's made out of toothpaste.
Yes, well, the Chanvel toothpaste logo is called the toothpaste logo because it looks like it's
made out of toothpaste.
And it's on the Justin Alfdenkamper signature. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Guitarist from the band Miss May I. His guitar is awesome. Really, really cool. But that's what I would like on that neck.
I'm looking up pictures of the Chanvel Surfcaster. What an absolutely fantastic guitar.
Yeah.
I never got into it enough when it was about. Very, very Titan guitar-esque guitar.
They're just...
I see what you mean.
They're just a bit bonkers because they just have so many different elements. So they've obviously got the offset kind of Fendery, you know, Jaguar body.
Yeah.
They've got Rickenbacker F-holes, but it's a humbucker. You've got a lipstick pickup, but then it's also just basically got like a Jackson like shred neck on it, or Chanvel
so
shred
weird.
Neck. But
so
I love
weird.
It. I love it. What's weird is, so I just did a quick reverb search for Surfcaster, and Chanvel aren't making them right now, but curiously, Eastwood are, and they also do a bass version.
I did see that.
Yeah, two lipstick pickups. They do it in Seafoam Green or a Cherry Burst, I believe. And yeah, it's kind of got all those cool, weird mix, a mashup of stuff. You know, you've got the lipstick pickups, you've got the offset body shape, you've got the Rickenbacker cutaway, F-hole, sorry. Yeah, very, very odd. And they're not huge money. I mean, they're like £950, but for something, if you want something, let's say you're in like a surf band or something, there's not many basses that are kind of like iconic for that, but
no, sure,
Surfcaster definitely would be in Seafoam Green.
Yeah, very cool.
Quality. Perfect.
Very cool. You know, I mentioned Titan guitars briefly. Do you know they're so over ordered now that they've had to stop taking new orders?
Really?
At the moment, that's how, I mean, they are blooming cool guitars at incredible prices,
like
probably the, you know, the most affordable, very custom shop looking guitar you can get if you're into sort of, you know, something weird and old and probably in shell pink. But yeah, so massively over ordered that you've got now we're just waiting for them to catch up, and they'll let everyone know, and then you can place orders again. Oh, that's great. I'm really glad that company's doing well. I think they're awesome. Go on then, Mark. Give us another question.
Let's do a couple that actually are not particularly focused on gear. And
yes, why not?
Well, Simon says, what are you all listening to? Simon says, yeah, very good. Simon says, what are you all listening to at the moment? Any band / record recommendations? What I wanted to say was, obviously it was Glastonbury this weekend. I watched some of the coverage yesterday. I didn't watch any bands that had guitars in because they all looked really boring. I thought the lineup for like rock stuff at Glastonbury was like...
Listen to this real music geezer
No, what I'm saying is the lineup for like rock stuff was
The Killers headline, mate. I don't know what your problem is.
No, but it was like all old boys. It was just a load of old bands.
What are you talking about?
I could only watch the stuff that was available on like iPlayer. So, and like all the stuff on there was like, yeah, it's The Cure.
But that's what they're going to be showing on iPlayer, isn't it?
But for the like music that wasn't rock stuff, there was like tons of young bands and like, you know, like stuff that you wouldn't expect. Like, for example, Stormzy headlining. Yeah. I watched the Lizzo set that was really good. Yeah.
Lizzo's so good.
Yeah. Janelle Monáe as well. I guess she had like a live band.
Did you see that clip that was doing the rounds on Twitter today of Dave?
Yeah. I didn't realise that was his name because it didn't actually... I didn't only caught the video.
Did you see about this? So no. Dave is this British rapper who actually also came on and did a... He didn't do a song with Stormzy. Stormzy brought him up during his headline set so that Dave could do his song.
That's pretty cool.
And Stormzy just like stood at the side of the stage and just enjoyed it.
I didn't see that bit.
It was so weird. It's so good. Anyway, Dave, this rapper. So, and this is, I only know this because this is what Stormzy said on the during his set, is Dave had the first fully UK produced hip hop number one in the UK, I think. Okay. So like the first hip hop song that was made by a British hip hop artist in the UK by a British producer,
okay,
went to number one in the UK. First geezer to do it. And then Stormzy was the second. But yeah, basically, he's got this song called Thiago Silva, who's a Brazilian defender who plays for PSG. And he's got this song called Thiago Silva. And he just went out to the crowd and went, right, does anyone know the lyrics? You want to come do it? And this geezer, this kid, like 20-year-old kid or whatever, wearing a Thiago Silva PSG shirt, he went, you, do you know the words? And he looked absolutely off his face, wearing a bucket hat and everything. And he was like, yeah, I know the words. And Dave's like, all right, let's just give it a go, see what happens. And the kid was so good. Knew all the words, absolutely slammed it. That was amazing. That's my highlight of Glastonbury.
Yeah, it was amazing. The things that I really enjoyed, like the Lizzo set was just so good. Yeah. And definitely worth checking out. That's on iPlayer. But I didn't see any guitar stuff. I saw a bit of The Cure. I mean, you know what they were using. They were using their Schecters and they were using Roland Cubes.
Well, they also used the Bass 6 came out and it sounded fan-blooming-tastic.
Yeah.
Perfect instrument for... because it's not played by, I forget, is it Reeves? Gabriel plays it, their guitarist.
Gabriel.
So they still have their bass player on his signature sort of Schecter Thunderbird style instrument.
Well, why is that weird? A Bass 6 is a guitar.
Fine. but it's fantastic for all that sort of super, very, very chorus heavy low end. I mean, they're great. And obviously using Roland Cubes.
Yeah.
I moved off of the Line 6 Spiders.
I'd like to know, like, from people in the Facebook group, like, what did I miss? Because all of the guitar music looks so boring. It was all people whose names I already knew, and it was all people whose music I knew was going to be really boring.
Well, in answer to Simon's question for some bands to kind of check out that might actually be good for guitars... recently I've been listening to a band called Last Hyena, a very good sort of instrumental jazz prog three-piece. Sandberg Precision Bass.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's the bass. And do you remember those, like, I don't know the colour, it was like a purple Jazzmaster with a taut guard. I don't know what the colour was called. Was it like a Candy Coda or something like that? But I feel it was darker.
Troy Van Leeuwen.
Was it a signature model? Matching
Troy Van
headstock?
Leeuwen has got a... Yeah.
Maybe it's
Troy
a
Van Leeuwen, I think that's how you pronounce his name, who's the guitar player in Queens of the Stone Age.
Right.
Has a signature Jazz
that was
master.
In that color.
Yes,
that's it. But fantastic, like really interesting soundscape. Great use of that would make sense. Great use of Strymon Blue Skies as a really sort of integral part of the sound, but used very musically and capable of doing everything from like off-kilter grooves to kind of big ethereal soundscapes just between the three of them. Very, very good band indeed. Went to see them recently. One thing I didn't realise, bass player, Mary Spender's old bass player.
Oh, really?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we met afterwards. But yeah, really, really great band. And if anyone hasn't checked it out yet and they want something interesting, maybe slightly less guitar-based, but still with some fantastic bass lines, all played on Johnny Greenwood's old jazz bass, is Thom Yorke's new album, Anima, which comes with a Netflix short film.
Anima,
yeah, which comes with a Netflix short film that you can also watch. Very good indeed.
I've been trying to listen to a bit more heavy stuff recently because I have been spending the winter listening to indie pop, and now that it is sunny and the time for indie pop, I'm trying to listen to more heavy music.
Okay, you've gone the other way.
I have gone the other
way.
You're
doing the reverse.
I have,
drinking Guinness in the summertime.
It's like putting on a jumper of hate.
You drink Guinness at any time of the day, any time of the year, any time. Can I have a pint of Guinness, please, Joe? Can you go and get me one?
Is there one in the...
No, there's not.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I have been listening a lot to this band Thou, who I saw about 10 years ago and am going to see again for the first time in 10 years in a couple of weeks, who are really good. I like them. They're very heavy. The new Converge record, well, it's not new. It came out last year. The Dusk in Us, I think maybe is even better than...
It's very
Jane
good.
Doe,
a very
which is
good,
like
very
the,
good album.
The
I don't
Converge
think it's
record.
As good as Jane Doe,
I actually
but
think
I think it's very good.
I think it's bloody good.
It's a fantastic comeback, I think we all agree.
And also, I get, funnily enough, I guess today, I was listening to Kill 'Em All. I listened to that this weekend, to that a few times. And today, I was listening to some this band, Curl Up and Die, who I was really into.
Are you going through something at the moment?
No, not at all. I'm just trying to
Kill 'Em All and Curl Up and Die.
Curl Up and Die, very interestingly, they were very proud of the fact that they got their name from a hair salon, which was. but yeah, really, really good, really good. That's what I've been listening to.
Can I make one other recommendation? I've been listening to the Otoboke Beaver album quite a lot, which is like Japanese thrash pop.
Do you play me some of that? Yeah,
they're really good. They're really good. Thunderbird bass and an SG being absolutely trashed.
Wonderful.
And it's really, really good. The album is wicked, and I think it lasts like 20 minutes or something. It's all very, very quick, and it's really good. It's the only album that's on Spotify. I think it's their only album. But yeah, that's what I'd recommend. Have we got time for one more question?
We do not. Unfortunately, okay. That is it for us here on the regular episode
of
the Guitar Nerds Podcast. We will do some more in the Patreon, where we'll be continuing now, where for as little as $1 a month, you can support the podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you the Patreon episode and loads of other things. And $10 a month, makes you an executive producer and gets your name read out in one breath by me. Now, we've got extra $10 tiers today, and unfortunately, this person has a very long name. So this is we are on the last few weeks, I think, of this, and then we're going to have to change.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Anyway, here we go. Christian Lund Hansen, John Pearson, John Mayer slowly burning in a dancing room, Zach Melton, Jim Welters, Keith Adams, Steve Ferguson, Eric Pryor, Christopher Franklin, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, Adam Royce Crisp, Jake Cutmore, Robert Cousins, Rob Gould, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Abaddon, Arnie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Hench, Rob Gaunt, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Henry James Baker, Juan Toya, Aaron Sherman, Blake Weiland, Andrew Goody, Jamie Kemp, Jake Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Lucis, Hans Ams, Robin Smith, Derek Gritz, Chris Connors, Rod Nordwick, Duncan Watson, Ed Bentley, Steve Merkel, DJ Macross, Michael McRae, Carlos Mancha, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Blair Tom, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Moo Gravett, Phil Thompson, Adrian Day, Kinsey, Matthew King, Scott Kane, Sean Ovo, Christopher Wolfe, Cuffinson.
It's getting very close. You actually shriveled then.
That was weird. I didn't think you were going to make it.
Yeah.
I was close. I sort of burped halfway through, and it really didn't help. I like lost a good portion of my air pocket there. Anyway.
Also, I couldn't help but notice that you mispronounced
a few names that time.
Yes, you did mispronounce a few
fine.
Names.
That's fine.
That's fine. Yeah.
Who did I get? Who did I get wrong?
There was who?
I felt like there was a couple. Like,
I noticed that you pronounced Andrew Good's name. Andrew Goody.
Yeah. Whatever. He can change his name.
Okay.
That's his name from now. Anyway, follow us on Instagram, at Twitter, at Guitar Nerds, and join us on facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Guitar Nerds. That's it for us this week. We'll be continuing over the Patreon for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Bye bye.
Cheers, gang.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.